Okay, good morning, everyone. We continue Sha'arim B'Tfilah. We are on page Kuf Ayin Vav 176, continuing the Pirkei Siyam, the concluding chapters of our wonderful Sefer. Rav Pinkas has transformed our davening experience, our spirituality, incredibly. And here at the end, he's been talking about the notion of hachana, of preparation, of getting ready. That no matter how much effort you put into the moment, it's all about the preparation that you put in advance. Even if you have an incredible experience, it could always have been greater, more enriching, more elevated, had you been even more prepared, had you put in more an effort to begin with. So we're in the middle of the page. Makor l'inyan hachana zu b'chazal. The source for this notion that appears in Chazal is in the Gemara Brachos Daf Tezvav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Harotza sheikabal of Omachu Shemaim Shlema, Yifna v'yito yadav yaniach tefillin v'yikari kriya shema v'yispala v'zui malchu shemaim shlema. If you want to truly be receiving, accepting the yoke of heaven, if you want to connect with the Almighty, if you want to feel there's something greater than you in this world, then you need to try to detach yourself, wash your hands, put on your tefillin, say Shema. And when you do, says the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol anifna v'nota yadav meiniach tefillin v'kore kriya shem espalel, male alav akasav ki'ilu bonam izbeach, v'hikriv alav korban. If you in fact do this, you make the effort, you have the mindset to detach yourself, to remove the chaos, to focus in, to spend a moment meditating and reflecting and grounding yourself before you begin that conversation, and then you put on your tefillin, you say Shema, you daven, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, considers it as if you built an altar and offered an offering on it. Dechsev erchatz b'nikayon kapay v'asova az mizbach HaShem. V'neim nomar shema shekosov yifne hainu b'pashos kadesh yispala b'nikiyos kasha l'chora. And if it's true that it means that you go to the bathroom so that before you daven, so that you can have a clean body, your body is purged, your body is clean, there's no distraction. Why is it such a nice thing, it's a generous thing, that you took the time to go to the bathroom, to have a clean sense of body, to feel cleansed, and your body to feel capable of connecting and of focusing? That's not a nice thing, that's a core halacha. The halacha is that if a person has the urge to eliminate, you're not allowed to daven. You have to eliminate before you daven. So why is the Gemara positioning it as if that's something extra? As if that's something nice? Says Rav Pinkas, his chiddush, his novel idea is that no, there's two, if you go to the bathroom before you daven, there's two fulfillments. Number one, you fulfill the halacha that when you feel the urge to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. It's called Baal Teshaktzu. It's degrading, it's undignified, it's a violation of human dignity to try to resist the urge to have to go to the bathroom, and certainly to daven. If anyone's had a conversation, let's say, I don't know, you have a child, and they're doing a dance while you're talking to them, and you say, just go to the bathroom, I'll talk to you afterwards. Go to the bathroom. Or their little child is playing and you see them doing the dance. Go to the bathroom. There you're more concerned for the accident. But if you're talking to someone who's got to go to the bathroom, you say, go to the bathroom. I want to have a conversation. I want you to focus. It's okay. I'm still here. Go. And we'll talk in a minute. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, go. We'll talk in a minute. So number one is the fulfillment of the halacha. You got to go. But number two, says Rav Pinkas, is the idea that on my checklist of preparation, before I go in to have that conversation, I want to make sure I went to the bathroom. I want to make sure I went to the bathroom. If you ever had an important meeting, you walked into a big negotiation, a big business meeting, a big interview, a big, whatever the meeting with an elected official that you're going to lobby. When you're going into that big meeting, who doesn't go to the bathroom first before you go in? Whether you have to go or not, you go to the bathroom because you say, that's part of my checklist. I don't want to have to go when I'm in there. I don't want to be distracted. Part of my checklist before I walk into that meeting, that negotiation, that interview, that lobbying session is I want to get that out of the way. So when a person does that before they daven, not only are they fulfilling the halacha to make sure they're not davening while they have an urge to go, but they've also expressed a level of a commitment, a checklist, right? Yeah, roll out of bed and I'm so flustered and I'm running late and I get into shul and I... No, benachas. Here's my checklist. Before I have a conversation, before I have an audience with the King of Kings, before I come in with my list of thank yous, my requests, what I need, what I'm dissatisfied, before I protest the Almighty, the injustice in the world, before I beseech Him for what I need for myself, for the people around me, here's my checklist. I'm going into that place. Here is my checklist. And among them is, I have to go to the bathroom. Ukamo mashal gamara bona mizbeach makriv korban in a dome makriv korban on mizbeach banoi lishabona umechen atzmos on mizbeach. So Reb Pinkas then points out another diuk, another fine nuance in the Gemara statement. The Gemara says, if you have your checklist, right? You turn your phone off, you leave it in the car. You went to the bathroom, you washed your hands, you put your tefillin on slowly, you wrapped yourself in your talis and you felt yourself in the hug and the embrace of Hashem. You then concentrate, okay, what do I want to talk to Hashem about today? What do I have to be grateful for that happened recently? What do I need His help with? Let me see what's coming up in my day, in my week. You prepare for davening. So the Gemara says, when you do that right, it's as if you built an altar and offered a korban. Why doesn't it say it's as if you offered a korban? Why does it say it's as if you built a mizbeach? And Rav Pinkas notes, you can't compare building an altar and offering a sacrifice to finding some old altar and bringing your new sacrifice. We're not talking about you rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. That's its own mitzvah. Of course, it's Machlok, it's Rashi, Tosfos versus the Rambam. Is the third Beis HaMikdash going to descend from heaven? Are we going to build it? Leave that aside. It's not talking about building a Mizbeach, literally the Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash. It means even at the time of Heter Bamos, even when we were allowed to have private altars in our own backyard before there was a centralized Mishkan Mikdash, so even then, there was no kiyum, there was no fulfillment of a mitzvah in building the altar. The mitzvah was in offering the sacrifice on it. Yet, building the altar was the preparation. It was the mindset. It shows I was thinking about having to do this. I got ready for it. The whole time you're building it, you're thinking about what you're building and why you're building it and what will be offered on it and what the experience will be like and how you hope to walk away from that. So therefore, it's elevated the entire experience. It's not just the moment of bringing the korban. Now you've expanded that out to also the entire time that you prepared. Your sukkah is transformed when you built your sukkah, or you decorated your sukkah, or you set the lights in your sukkah. If you minimally did anything for your sukkah, your entire experience of enrichment of sitting in the sukkah is enhanced by what you did beforehand. You know, did you get your dalad minim, you threw it in the closet, you didn't even look at it till yontav morning, you took it to shul? Or beforehand, did you tighten the loops and have to tie a few more loops and put your adas min aravas and figure out how you're going to keep it fresh, and you spent that time? When we put effort, when we put time, when we prepare, we transform the entire experience that we have. It makes it something which is totally different. And we communicate an altogether different message. There's someone in this room, I won't embarrass him, who told me that he doesn't go to sleep on Saturday night without knowing the plan with his children on Sunday. Every Sunday, he wants it to be the greatest Sunday of his kids' life. What are we doing this Sunday? What fun thing, what amazing opportunity, what are we doing? Not every Sunday you're driving to Disney and you know, spending a lot of money, but just, what's the activity this Sunday? So there's two ways to experience Sunday with your kids. There's the typical way, which is, you know, half of Sunday goes by because you spent the first half debating what you should do that Sunday. And the kids can't decide together, and they fight, and they disagree, and everyone wants to do something different, and then you threaten, we might as well do nothing, and then that Sunday's gone. I've heard that happens in other homes. So that's the typical Sunday. So this person, it inspired me when they shared this, said, no, I don't go to sleep Motzei Shabbos. I put in the Hachana. I scour the internet, I review my list of fun things to do, I think about the things we've done before. I don't go to sleep unless I know what's the itinerary, what's the goal, what's the agenda for Sunday. And it transformed his Sundays with his family. So that's the attitude towards davening, towards every experience of a mitzvah. It's the attitude towards everything we have with Hashem. It transforms it. It also communicates, in that case of that individual, communicates to his children, I love you so much, and I want Sunday to be so fantastic. I put in the effort, the time, the thought to prepare for it. But it's the same in any circumstance. If you walk into a business meeting, you're much more likely to have a successful outcome if you communicate explicitly or implicitly that you've prepared for it, that you've done your homework, that you've done your research. So do we fly into shul, catch up, throw on the tefillin, running late, I really have to go to the bathroom, and I really have to, and my phone is buzzing, and I don't know what I want to talk to him about. I didn't even think about what I was talking about. I didn't even talk to him about anything. And the next thing you know, I rolled up my tefillin and left early. That's one experience. You know, imagine you have a meeting, big business meeting, and that's the way it is. Do you think you're going to get the deal? Do you think you're going to get the job? Do you think you're going to get your message across in the lobbying session? Or did you do your homework? Did you come in? Were you there early? Did you go to the bathroom? Made sure you left a little time to get there early, that you had your parking, you went to the bathroom, you could walk into the meeting benachas. The kol zekedesh kasher sof sof yakriva korban yamuchan be'ema v'yira. So the Gemara likens, when you do this, that you built a mizbeach and offered a korban. It's not just that if you prepared, ooh-wah, you offered a korban. If you prepared, it's like you built a mizbeach and offered a korban. Why? Because the building of the mizbeach transforms later the offering of the korban. That korban is a qualitatively, categorically different korban than had you flown in, rushed in, and built it on someone else's mizbeach. V'libo malei bezrag shus v'yasa korbano b'mesiris nefesh. K'vim ha-shehichin atzman l'zeh v'chishev b'libo. You know why it's also different? Because you put a piece of yourself into it. You gave up your time to prepare. You gave up your energy to prepare. You might have compromised or sacrificed something else to prepare. And when you give a piece of yourself, when you invest a piece of yourself because you put in a more of an effort, you prepared, now you have a greater connection to it. Now you feel more connected to it. Now there's more at stake in it. And therefore the entire experience is different. When you fly in and you did something on someone else's, that's a totally different experience than when you put in the effort and you did it yourself. So the notion of preparing and davening is not just because if you prepare, the davening's better. It's because the preparing itself is an expression of honor, dignity, respect. What the preparing itself communicates about how important this thing is. And when you put in no preparation, and when you made no effort, then what does it communicate? The opposite. So you take your wife out for your anniversary, and at the table you say, hold on one second, you take out the card that you bought in the gas station that you stopped at with her on the way to dinner, and you say, could you just give me a minute, I just got to fill this out. At the table for your anniversary dinner. The fact that you present the card means at some point you thought about buying the card. At some point you found a minute or moment to write the card. It's not just getting the card and what it says, it's that getting a card says that you thought about this card in advance. And when you just fill it out in front of the person and you didn't think about it in advance, and when you stop at the gas station and she says, what's second, the tank's on full, why are you stopping? Oh, I just have to get something at the convenience store. So you communicate the exact opposite. I gave this no thought. I made no effort. You can't, well, you got the card in the end. What are you complaining about? It's not about getting the card. It's about the effort you put in, and davening is just the same. Have a fantastic day.